No, no, no.
Audio
no,
is locked
good.
In.
Good.
Aurelia will do it for both of us.
Oh, oh, good, good, oh. Good. Are we going to have a talk off, you and I?
I'm not at the top of my game.
We already started.
Oh. We're
recording.
Right. We're recording.
See, this is a 104.9 where we have cues. Oh. Like, I don't have a big light that says
on air.
No on air.
No, here it just says hot air.
No, it says hot air and it says booze is the only answer. Right, that's right. It's GloucesterCast 309. We have, you've been on the podcast before.
Yes, I have.
So only one podcast virgin today.
It's true.
And that would happen to be the prestigious.
Esteemed.
Illustrious, esteemed Senator Bruce Tarr. Thank you for coming.
Welcome. Sure. Good morning, Senator Tarr.
It's an honor to be in this hallowed space to watch you unloading lobster and then switch completely to a media maven within a matter of seconds.
So you've never been up in this office, have you?
I've been downstairs, never upstairs. I'm saying this is...
What do you think? I mean,
the environments here almost defy verbal description. There's an interesting combination of entrepreneurial spirit, waterfront history.
Wait, is that what I'm smelling?
Makeshift kitchen. it's really, Joe, an eclectic space is, I think, the most diplomatic word that I could use for where we are.
I was looking for authentic, but we'll take that.
It has character. Would that help?
Character. I'll take character.
Yeah.
It's real.
Garage bandy.
100% real. You could not accumulate this.
Right.
This collection.
Right. Amount of dust.
Right.
This is not
curated. Yeah. This collection.
This is not
curated.
You say that in jest.
No, this is
majestic.
Sorry.
With the A-Rod stuff in this.
Getting his face stuffed.
We have all these are classic.
Yes, classic.
Red Sox, yes. Bruins. Damage done. We have some Monets on the wall.
We got a Monet, yeah.
We have some awards from Best Blog on North Shore Magazine.
You've
Best
got an antique needlepoint.
Antique needlepoint that says booze is the only answer.
We have
photos of my grandfather's boat being launched at the Story Shipyard and his crew.
Picture of naked ladies.
We do have naked ladies on the beach with one of my fishermen from back in the 80s over there.
It was the 80s.
That must be Tuffy.
That's Tuffy. Of course it's Tuffy. Yeah.
We got candy from 1902.
We have a candy machine. We have a candy machine that has last been filled in the early 90s. Like 90, circa 92. We have Jolly Joe's. Are they called Jolly Joe's?
Jolly
hot tamales?
Jolly
Ranchers?
No, Jolly Joe's.
Jolly Joe's. The jelliest ones.
Yeah.
Those are circa 1991.
Wow.
I think they might be a risk to human health right now. What would be...
maybe they're petrified.
Really important would be for Kim to do a panoramic shot of this space. And you can see the multiple facets of this rough diamond.
Yes, yeah. And like vintage dust.
Yes.
Like little corners. Like, how old is this dust?
It's,
I think when Heidi...
You could do like
an
archaeological...
When Heidi did the... when they did the Simon Geller play, I think that they must have come here for inspiration when they were designing the set.
Borrowed some of that dust.
We could, in fact, carbon date this dust.
There you go.
It would be very interesting.
I think we should do an archaeological dig.
Well, who knows what we would find.
This is true.
There's your opinion.
For those who didn't hear last week's podcast, is if you look at that Advil container, the expiration date is January of 2009.
They're still effective. For the record, they're still effective.
You just need to take more.
There's not many left. It's down to right around there, but they are effective.
They're a placebo at this point.
They're
placebo. No.
Yeah. Placebo, yes, exactly.
You probably are.
I would know.
Is that the dust has created a seal. Prevented them from aging.
Very special. I'm telling you. You couldn't
moisture
recreate
proofing.
This.
Now that the scene is set.
We're going to go around and everybody's going to introduce themselves.
Sure. My name is Megan Merlin. I am the Outreach and Marketing Coordinator for Action Inc. And I run the Project Uplift Toy Drive every year.
And this is your second time on the podcast.
Second time.
Yeah.
The first time we were at the TV studio, I think.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. We have...
So, Senator Bruce Tarr, the minority leader of the Massachusetts State Senate, representing 17 of the finest communities in Massachusetts, and very happy to be a supporter of Project Uplift and all of the things that Action Incorporated does, because it's such a wonderful organization in our lives, and very happy to partner with North Shore 104.9, one of the finest community-oriented radio stations in Massachusetts, which does so much. That defines it as a community, locally-based station that's really important. And also, this is my first time here in these rarefied environs, Joe. And I am looking forward to having some blood testing and other diagnostics to make sure that I am okay.
And I'm Aurelia Nelson from North Shore 104.9 FM, and proud to be part of the Toy Drive. And we were trying to remember, I think the first year we did it, the first year it was done with North Shore 104.9 was the year 2000. You had done it a few years before with WESX, right?
Yes, yes.
WESX went out of business, and
Bill Rochford
came to us, and that's how it all started.
So we can get into an interesting story about this, but we're still doing introductions, Joe, right?
Yeah, we'll go through
the introduction phase
sorry.
Of our, I'm trying to understand the format here as a neophyte.
Good morning, Thank Joe. Bruce. Good morning, Gloucester. Happy birthday, Joe.
Chris McCarthy. That's Chris McCarthy, in case you
haven't Chris McCarthy.
I'm GMG Jimmy. I work with the health department. they would never believe the report I would write, so I'm now announcing now I quit.
Pat LPS, good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester.
You want to say your
name? It's Kim.
She's like, she's elevated to Madonna and Cher status.
Right.
One word, one name. Everyone knows it's Kim.
It's Kim.
Just Kim. And I'm your host, Joey Schmitzauer. Thank you guys for coming. Wait, why don't you get into this story?
What? Is it your story or is it my story?
From the very beginning. Your story. So, there was, as I was transitioning from the state House of Representatives to the Senate, a pay raise that got passed in the middle of the night, which I had a big problem with. And so at the time, Representative Ferranti actually worked in our office as an aide. And we worked together, and we went out and got a loan from a local bank for the exact amount of the pay raise and bought a Winnebago, which became our mobile office, where we would travel to town meetings and things and hold office hours and whatnot. And along the same time, I was having a conversation. Well, we used to do a lot of remote broadcasts for then WESX AM 1230, which was located in Marblehead but licensed in Salem. Mm-hmm. And in those days, we used to do a direct VHF transmission to Marblehead over water. And we would do all these various things. And I asked the station, I had had a conversation with Bill Rochford, who said, we really think we could benefit from getting more publicity for Project Uplift, but I'm not really sure what else we could do. And I said, well, I have an idea. So I asked the station to give us the station for the morning, and we used to park on Main Street up in front of Blanchard's, and a couple of times we did it in front of the Legion, and I used to have to be on the roof twisting the antenna toward Marblehead to try to get a good enough signal so that it would be clean enough
to
rebroadcast.
You had a little tinfoil hat.
And then along the lines, WESX eventually faded from the scene, and it was a great day when I got a call from the morning team at WBOQ. It was at the time Kendall Buell.
Right.
And Kendall, who is now at BZ Radio doing the news, but Kendall said, could we do the Toy Drive? And I said, now, wait a minute. It's a 50,000-watt station, FM, and I don't have to get on the roof to twist the antenna.
But it's not a 50,000-watt station.
Oh,
I just have
for
to
destroying
correct
that.
I'm so, well, no, I mean, you can go. Yeah. No, but I have to say, no, it's, I mean, I can't let that go up.
I appreciate
it's,
that.
It's a 6,000-watt station, yeah. But it's a mighty 6,000.
Well, the thing is that the coverage is much, much right. bigger. And so it was an easy thing to do. And we have been partnered ever since then. And the Toy Drive has grown
right.
so much
yeah.
Over the years. And so it used to be we would broadcast, the next phase was two locations, one in front of First National Bank of Ipswich, and the other was downtown Gloucester. So we'd do the early morning in Ipswich and then come to Gloucester. And our world record in the Winnebago was to have 28 members of the Ipswich High School Chorus broadcasting inside the Winnebago.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's crazy.
And in those days, there was still some rebroadcast done a little bit. But at any rate, and then we would come to Gloucester. And over time, people decided they wanted to be part of this and we should expand it. And there could not be a more wonderful partner than North Shore 104.9. And they now dedicate the entire day to us.
Wow.
Which is a big
It's like the Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, very similar, right?
We had a lot of fun, yeah.
You guys start at 6 or 7 a.m.?
6 a.m. Capital Diner, right?
So we start at 6 a.m. at the Capital Diner.
Oh, so it's traveling thing.
Yep.
So there are 9 stops, and we broadcast an hour in each of the 9 stops.
So what are the 9 stops?
So I'm glad you asked that question, Kim.
So initially it started with just Project Uplift, right? That we came, you know, the Bill Rochford had come to Bruce and asked him to, you know, help promote it. And then they brought, you know, all these other locations in, all these other partners. So now, when you know, when Bruce goes to these different stops, he's helping a bunch of nonprofits all over the North Shore collect toys.
And it all works together, too, because, like, it's like the tide has lifted up all the boats.
Yeah.
Everybody has gotten so much more because we're working throughout the entire North Shore.
Right? And is there before we go any further, is there a website I can direct people for all the information of where the stops are?
Sure.
What would that be?
NorthShore1049.com.
On the website, okay.
Right, it's right on the webpage. On the website.
Okay. And the important thing, and Megan touched on it, is that we are not our own charity.
Right.
We promote whatever charity is in the community, and the toys stay there, and the cash stays there, and the gift cards stay in whatever place they come from. And so when we're on Cape Ann, everything for the most part benefits Action. There's one stop that benefits Pathways for Children. And when we're in other communities, it is whatever the local charity is. And one of the things that we do now, which may be somewhat ill-advised, is we have two thresholds, fundraising goals, one for the morning and one for the afternoon. And if we raise enough for the morning total, then I sing a song at the First Ipswich Bank. And if we raise enough for the afternoon total, then I sing at Cape Ann Savings Bank. And I know that there is a strong affinity for Italian culture in this room. And the song that usually gets sung at the savings bank is Dominic the Donkey.
That's a winner.
Our joke is 3,000 to get him to sing, 6,000 to get him to not sing.
Love it.
So, but one thing, Joe, that we want to particularly emphasize is, even though it's radio, we want people to come and be part of it. So one of the things that we've always done from the very start is feature local musicians.
Right.
And oftentimes they come from schools. Public schools will come with choruses or bands or whatever we can get, because we want to showcase the fact that kids in our communities want to help other kids.
Right.
And so they come and they give of their talents so that we can gain toys and things for kids. And so the one additional twist is that we had a very fortuitous event where the radio station moved its antenna. Right. So everyone knows that BOQ is still licensed in Gloucester. But the antenna was in such a location that it was largely broadcasting to fish and other marine species. So
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
So the antenna got moved, and now the signal goes up into the Merrimack Valley.
Ah, gotcha.
So one of the things that we did last year to take cognizance of that is we've added a second broadcast. And so that broadcast is the kickoff broadcast, and it's in North Andover at the China Blossom Restaurant, a wonderful family who puts out appetizers and things for people who bring toys.
I'm coming.
And it is, and this year,
speaking to me. The food is speaking to me.
You can get wonton and crab rangoon, and we have some wonderful singers lined up. In fact, one of the featured artists, and I know Aurelia is going to talk a lot about artists because that's a big part of what she does for the toy drive. But last year we were introduced to the chorus from the Academy at Penguin Hall. Wonderful young student scholars. And they are going to be one of the featured artists at the North Andover broadcast. And, you know, North Andover and Lawrence and Andover have been hit really hard with an extraordinarily bad situation with gas explosions.
That's incredible.
We are partnering with the United Way. And they are going to make sure that those families and others get help in the Merrimack Valley. So
very, you know what? Talk about timely.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, now you just kind of like hit home right there.
Yeah, because
And yeah.
It's the toy drive just kicks the holiday spirit, really kicks it over. You know, if you were, you know, not quite getting into it, once you get to that day, you just can't be in a bad mood. Something funny is happening at every stop. The generosity that we see from people, from little tykes to a couple that brings from to Woodman's, to the stop at Woodman's. By the way, they give you chowder if you bring a present at Woodman's. There's a couple named Nelson, and they bring in, right?
It's like a box. It's the Tyler Nelsons.
Yeah.
And they are from Newbury, and her aunt was a teacher in the Gloucester Public School System. And they always wanted to do something to remember her. Oh. And what better than to give a child a smile in the holiday season? So they spend all year buying toys and fill their basement. And they actually rent a U-Haul truck or a Ryder truck, whichever it is.
Yeah.
And they arrive at Woodman's with an entire truck full of toys. Oh, and to give you an example,
a few years ago,
they Kmart in Newburyport closed.
Right.
And they bought the toy department.
No.
And they brought all of the toys. Yeah. Now, there's an interesting contrast that happens in Essex at Woodman's, which is a wonderful stop. But there is also another local business from Cape Ann that sends another truck of toys that chooses to be anonymous.
It's wild.
And so...
It's Toy Palooza.
If you want to have your spirits lifted in the holiday season, come to any one of these stops, and I guarantee... you will feel good about what you see.
What can you describe? What is it, a bus? What does it look like? What are you broadcasting?
So here's what's interesting. We used to broadcast from the Winnebago. We built a broadcast booth in it for remote broadcast. We then partnered with all the local businesses, and they run their own stock. So whatever kind of food they want to have, and we broadcast inside the business.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Makes sense. Get people in there.
And that's, again, if there was one thing I would emphasize, Joe, in this podcast is please come.
Right.
We love to have you listen, but we want to have you come and experience this. And it's sometimes I become very emotional just telling stories about this. And, you know, one of the occasions that I remember is we had some kids in Rockport actually bring bags full of pennies to help other kids.
Yeah.
And there are so many stories. And my theory about life in our part of the world is people want to do something good, but you have to give them a way to do it.
So if we do the planning, we provide the opportunity,
they will come forward. And there are countless examples of that happening.
Right.
So and do people usually bring, like, just toys and money? They have to be new toys.
They
right?
do. Yeah. They have to be new and unwrapped. Yeah. And we will take gift cards and also cash. And sometimes people ask us, why do we want cash? Yeah. And Megan can explain this better than I, but for older kids, a stuffed animal isn't really appropriate. Right. So they will use the cash to buy gift cards and other things.
Yeah. We have a lot of really, really generous partners in the community. I mean, Gloucester and Cape Ann, the North Shore, like Aurelia and I were saying earlier, it's different than everywhere else. Like, people really get together, come through. And because we're able to partner with so many different people, we get a lot of cash donations, a lot of gift card donations, and we're able to really supplement all the toys that we get for the older kids and give them a gift card.
Yeah, like an Amazon gift card.
Marshalls, we do Marshalls because it's close and easy to get to.
Right.
You don't have to have a computer. You don't have to have a car. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that, because what do you get an 11-year-old? I mean, we can't buy Xboxes, you know? So it's really great for them. And we've actually extended the toy drive this year to the age 16.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
I think,
like,
you know, when you think about all the families that got really crippled by those gas explosions.
And they're not even going to be in their homes. Like, now they're saying January.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So where did they put those people? Where are all those people living right now?
So, a lot of them are. Aren't there trailers?
There are a couple of different kinds of housing. I actually represent half of North Andover, and so have been involved with that recovery effort to the extent of trying to monitor and add thoughts about how it can be done. And there are trailers, and there are hotel rooms, and there are shelters, and there are also some apartments as well. And one of the things that we've learned through this experience, which has been horrific for people in the Merrimack Valley, is that people are very reluctant to leave their home, even when conditions are not good.
Right. Yeah.
And so, for instance, before Thanksgiving, we all remember the cold snap that we had, and we were putting out on social media, please do not risk your health. Do not risk hypothermia. Mm-hmm. You know, use one of these options. So the disaster affected about 8,500 meters, so individual dwelling units that have a meter
times,
and
you know,
it
yeah, 3.2. I don't know how many.
Yeah. Right. So, one of the difficulties was trying to get hotel rooms that were close enough by so that people's lives weren't disrupted in terms of getting kids to school.
Right.
So, one of the things that happened, which was quite unusual, is that Columbia Gas rented a cruise ship, which is docked in Boston, for its workers to get them out of the hotel rooms so that residents could occupy those hotel rooms.
Who knew? Thank you for sharing that. Great information. Yeah.
So on our blog, Joe, which is tartalk.com, we post information about this on a regular basis. And 3 times a week, usually, the legislative delegation has a conference call with the people in charge of the recovery effort, and we get updated. And when we have information, we try to put it out on our blog and also on our Facebook page to make sure that people can get the latest information. But before the cold snap, we were really stressing, you know, please use one of these alternatives. Mm-hmm. And if there is any good news in this, it is that so-called relights, returning the gas, is at a very high percentage now, and there's not a lot left, and we're hoping that very soon we'll be able to say that everyone's gas and heat and hot water is back on. Mm. Now, one of the issues is when you've been out of your home, for those that have, you have to make sure when you come back everything still works.
Yeah.
So even if everything is so-called relit, you need to make sure that everything is still functional.
Right.
And on top of all of
like
that,
furnaces and
exactly.
hot water.
Yeah.
So stoves.
Right.
So originally the plan was to replace everything. And the difficulty in that was a lot of things, as you can imagine, didn't meet code. So you couldn't take out something and replace it with a new thing because the new thing wasn't compatible with the infrastructure that was in the home. So then the plan shifted to, let's try to repair as much as we can with a commitment from Columbia Gas that in the spring they will go back and replace everything. And one of the things that some of us have been particularly adamant about is that when those replacements happen, they be done with the most energy efficient appliances possible, because this is an incredible opportunity to reduce our carbon footprint.
Yeah. Right.
And so Attorney General Healey has been part of that, Senator Warren has been part of that, the legislative delegation, state senators and representatives, we've all been saying,
Sorry, did you, as a Republican, just give credit to a
bipartisan? I like it.
I fucking love that. Wait a second. That's such a breath of fresh air. I'm lightheaded right now. Oh my God, you mean that exists out there? Oh my God, we can actually compliment each other and work together and not just try to tear each other apart. Oh my God.
It took was an explosion.
I think that happens a lot in that.
Yeah. I'm lightheaded right now. I'm giddy.
I wouldn't digress too much into politics.
No, we but don't do politics, I have got to acknowledge. In this day and age, I dislike politics because of the partisan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To hear anyone that will talk down the middle and acknowledge good on either side is, you know, near and dear to my heart. So that's fantastic. Kudos.
Well, you know, Joe, I think it's important for people to understand how much bipartisan work happens in Massachusetts. And so, for instance, Senator Markey brought the relevant federal committee to Lawrence last week, and there was a public hearing, which was attended by people of both parties to try to say, what are we going to do? Because in the end, our job is all the same. It's taking care of the people that we represent. Now, obviously, sometimes we're going to have different opinions about how to do that, but that's exactly what our founding fathers intended. Mm-hmm. And in the glorious interchange of those ideas, the passionate debate that happens, comes the best public policy. If there is respect, and if there's a willingness to find common ground. Mm-hmm. And so a great example of that, two examples I'll give you. One is North Andover is actually represented by four legislators. And currently, and this will change in the new year, but two Republicans and two Democrats. Awesome. And our goal is to help the people in North Andover. Yeah. And
so, at the end of the day.
Yeah. And you know, again, here on Cape Ann, you have Representative Ann Margaret Ferranti, and you have Representative Brad Hill representing us in the House, and the three of us work together. And again, it isn't to say we don't have different ideas about things. You would want us to not retreat from what we really believe and what our ideas are, but you also should demand that we work together. And I'll give you one more example, just, and again, I don't want to digress too much, but I always try to tell people this, that in Massachusetts, generally speaking, every Monday, the Senate President, the Speaker of the House, the Governor, the Lieutenant Governor, the two minority leaders, and the two Ways and Means Committee chairs sit at the same table. Mm. And we talk about how we're going to address the problems that we're facing. That generally happens
that's
on
awesome
Monday.
On Tuesday,
I meet with the Senate President, and we talk about what's going to be on the agenda for the coming week and how we're going to work together to be able to address whatever issue it is. So in a world where we hear a lot about polarization and extreme partisanship, I think it's important for people to know that in Massachusetts, we have a lot of bipartisanship. And again, it isn't that we always agree. And in fact, if you watch on the computer stream some of the debates that we have in the Senate, you will see that I can be very passionate and very vocal. I know that's hard to believe in this group. But that's what the process demands. But at the end of the day, we wind up working together on a lot of things. And I'll just give you one more example, and you'll probably regret you went down this path.
He told me the last time it was the last thing.
But one of the things that I'm pleased...
No mercy.
I got a feeling there's going to be more examples.
No, I'll leave you with this. One of the things that we've been struggling with in Massachusetts is trying to have screening for kids that have dyslexia in our schools. Believe it or not, there is no requirement, or there was no requirement, that kids be screened for dyslexia. So I filed a bill, and Senator Letalian from Andover filed a bill. We put those two bills together. We used the best of both. And a few weeks ago, Governor Baker signed it into law.
Oh, nice.
Great.
And so there is a lot of bipartisanship that happens here. And my only hope is that if we continue to lead in that way, then others will see the example and hopefully follow the example.
I think that's why Massachusetts is the greatest state in the nation. I really believe that. I think we're the most, you know, most advanced in every area. I think we are the greatest state in the whole entire country.
Yeah. Joe's willing to allow you to use this space for those Monday.
Yeah.
You know,
Come on in, Governor.
We can do a brisket. I can start the brisket the night before. We're all ready to go.
Charlie, how do you like your brisket?
So my concern is this, Chris. Looking at the state of the coffee apparatus, if we had the entire leadership of Massachusetts drink from that, I'm concerned that we could have a crisis in here.
Well, and I'm drinking it right now, and I'd probably feel myself itching.
I'd probably have to get the porta potty dumped out twice a day over here.
I would say that would be a
we'd have to do it twice a day.
Get the cigarette out of the pool.
Instead of once a week.
About the toy drive.
if we can just talk a little bit about the schedule of the toy drive, just to give people a sense. So on Monday the 10th from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll be at China Blossom. And we will be there for the United Way. Again, the toys will help families in that part of the state that have been affected, particularly by the explosions, but others as well. And we will have some great entertainment. We will have Santa Claus. We will have Mrs. Santa Claus who will be there. And it's just a lot of fun. And if people are in that neighborhood, please come by. And then on the 13th, which is our incredibly busy day, we start at 6 a.m. at the Capitol Diner, which is owned by our good friend Bob Fennell, who used to be a state representative and now is on the Lynn Sewer Commission, is Governor Baker. and the governor shows up. We always give him a little bit of grief about whatever toy he has brought. And there are a lot of folks that bring things. The folks from Wayne Alarm, which is based in Lynn, bring a truckload of toys.
Wow.
And we have kids singing, and it is an unbelievable atmosphere, all at 6 in the morning. And for those of you that know me, you know that I am not a morning person. And so, but there's a lot of energy. And then from 7:30 to 8:30, we're at Salem State University.
Right.
They have always been a great partner with this toy drive. And they have opened a Starbucks in the Viking Hall Cafe on Loring Ave. And we will be raising toys there for the Bates Elementary School, which is part of the Salem Public Schools. And this is a location which we haven't been to in a while, so we want to encourage folks to come by, and there'll be all kinds of Starbucks products there, which will be conceivably just a notch above what you're serving here this morning, Joe. And then from 9 to 10, we go to the Flint Public Library in Middleton, and we benefit a local charity that's run through the library called Neighbors in Need. And the interesting thing about this stop is that there are two elementary schools in Middleton. There is the Howe Manning School and the Fuller Meadow School, and both of them send their choruses.
Oh, wow.
And so one half is dedicated to each chorus from the schools, and it's very exciting there. And then from 10:30 to 11:30, we're at Aubuchon Hardware in Beverly, and we benefit Beverly Bootstraps, which is an organization in some ways similar to Action,
mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful organization. And one of the highlights usually there is we have the folks, the kids and students from North Shore Community College come. And
yep.
They bring toys, and particularly there is a veterans group at North Shore Community
yep.
College, and they bring us toys. And as Aurelia was saying,
Beverly High School Chorus. They're amazing,
oh,
these kids.
Awesome.
They're
yeah.
amazing. And there's what? There's like 40 of them.
It is
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the hardware store,
right.
amidst hammers and saws and all manner of things,
yeah.
with a giant
yeah.
pile of toys. And the
yeah.
kids
and
are singing, and they are
chorus.
Remarkable.
They have
wow.
a great
they are remarkable.
They do.
Yeah.
So that's from 10:30 to 11:30. And then from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, one of our earliest stops in terms of the tenure of the toy drive.
Yeah, they've been with us the whole time.
The whole time.
Yep.
We're at First Ipswich Bank, which is on Market Street in the downtown, and our benefit is Governor Baker. And the governor shows up. We always give him a little bit of grief about whatever toy he has brought. And there are a lot of folks that bring things. The folks from Wayne Alarm, which is based in Lynn, bring a truckload of toys.
Wow.
And we have kids singing, and it is an unbelievable atmosphere, all at 6 in the morning. And for those of you that know me, you know that I am not a morning person. And so, but there's a lot of energy. And then from 7:30 to 8:30, we're at Salem State University.
Right.
They have always been a great partner with this toy drive. And they have opened a Starbucks in the Viking Hall Cafe on Loring Ave, and we will be raising toys there for the Bates Elementary School, which is part of the Salem Public Schools. And this is a location which we haven't been to in a while, so we want to encourage folks to come by, and there'll be all kinds of Starbucks products there, which will be conceivably just a notch above what you're serving here this morning, Joe. And then from 9 to 10, we go to the Flint Public Library in Middleton, and we benefit a local charity that's run through the library called Neighbors in Need. And the interesting thing about this stop is that there are two elementary schools in Middleton. There is the Howe Manning School and the Fuller Meadow School, and both of them send their choruses.
Oh, wow.
And so one half is dedicated to each chorus from the schools, and it's very exciting there. And then from 10:30 to 11:30, we're at Aubuchon Hardware in Beverly, and we benefit Beverly Bootstraps, which is an organization in some ways similar to Action,
mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful organization. And one of the highlights usually there is we have the folks, the kids and students from North Shore Community College come,
right.
and
yep.
they bring toys, and particularly there is a veterans group at North Shore Community
yep.
College, and they bring us toys. And as Aurelia was saying,
Beverly High School Chorus. They're amazing, these kids.
Awesome.
They're amazing. And there's there's like 40 of them.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the hardware store, right, amidst hammers and saws and all manner of things, with a giant pile of toys. And the kids are singing, and they are remarkable.
They are remarkable.
They do.
Yeah.
So that's from 10:30 to 11:30. And then from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, one of our earliest stops in terms of the tenure of the toy drive.
Yeah, they've been with us the whole time.
The whole time. Yep. We're at First Ipswich Bank, which is on Market Street in the downtown, and our benefit is Governor Baker. And the governor shows up. We always give him a little bit of grief about whatever toy he has brought. And there are a lot of folks that bring things. The folks from Wayne Alarm, which is based in Lynn, bring a truckload of toys.
Wow.
And we have kids singing, and it is an unbelievable atmosphere, all at 6 in the morning. And for those of you that know me, you know that I am not a morning person. And so, but there's a lot of energy. And then from 7:30 to 8:30, we're at Salem State University.
Right.
They have always been a great partner with this toy drive. And they have opened a Starbucks in the Viking Hall Cafe on Loring Ave, and we will be raising toys there for the Bates Elementary School, which is part of the Salem Public Schools. And this is a location which we haven't been to in a while, so we want to encourage folks to come by, and there'll be all kinds of Starbucks products there, which will be conceivably just a notch above what you're serving here this morning, Joe. And then from 9 to 10, we go to the Flint Public Library in Middleton, and we benefit a local charity that's run through the library called Neighbors in Need. And the interesting thing about this stop is that there are two elementary schools in Middleton. There is the Howe Manning School and the Fuller Meadow School, and both of them send their choruses.
Oh, wow.
And so one half is dedicated to each chorus from the schools, and it's very exciting there. And then from 10:30 to 11:30, we're at Aubuchon Hardware in Beverly, and we benefit Beverly Bootstraps, which is an organization in some ways similar to Action, which is a wonderful organization. And one of the highlights usually there is we have the kids and students from North Shore Community College come, and they bring toys, and particularly there is a veterans group at North Shore Community College, and they bring us toys. And as Aurelia was saying,
Beverly High School Chorus. They're amazing, these kids.
Awesome.
They're amazing. And there's like 40 of them.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the hardware store,
right,
amidst hammers and saws and all manner of things,
yeah,
with a giant pile of toys. And the kids are singing, and they are remarkable.
They are remarkable.
They do.
Yeah.
So that's from 10:30 to 11:30. And then from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, one of our earliest stops in terms of the tenure of the toy drive.
Yeah, they've been with us the whole time.
The whole time.
Yep.
We're at First Ipswich Bank, which is on Market Street in the downtown, and we are benefiting.